So we are again in Borer over here. I do hope to finish Borer by Sunday. That's my goal, at least. So one more week of Borer, and then hopefully we'll move on. I do plan on giving Shir on Sunday. That is definitely part of the plan. Yoni, you do not have to come to Shir on Sunday. You can, if you want. I'll give you a ride afterwards, but I'm invited to the wedding. I'm coming to Shir. So let's... let's start with one of the more relevant shilas when it comes to Borer that people get very animated about and people get very emotional about, and that is making coffee on Shabbos. So we've already discussed coffee on Shabbos as far as Bishul is concerned, but there is a significant coffee making issue on Shabbos as far as Borer is concerned. Actually, two types of coffee that people like to make on Shabbos or people would like to be able to make on Shabbos. And may involve shilas of Borer. One is called pour over coffee, and the other is called French press. Is just by a show of hands, how many are familiar with what pour over coffee is? Not as many as I would have hoped. Okay, and how many French press? Same people. Okay, so then not so much familiarity. So the idea of pour over coffee is essentially, you know how coffee gets brewed in general, right? That much we know, yeah. No, okay. So you take ground coffee beans, you put it in a filter, and then you pour boiling water over the ground coffee beans in the filter. What comes out at the bottom of the filter is coffee, because the water sits in those ground coffee beans. It absorbs all the flavor of the ground coffee beans, and it comes through at the bottom, and it's going to come through as delicious coffee, right? That's the idea of every coffee machine you've ever seen. That's how a Keurig works. When you take that little pod and you put it in the machine, it runs water through the pod. The pod has ground coffee beans in it, and then the water comes out on the bottom of the pod without bringing out all of the ground coffee beans. It filters out the ground coffee beans, keeps them in the pod, but only the water comes out at the bottom. The water sneaks through at the bottom, and now the water is flavored from those ground coffee beans. So now you obviously can't turn on a Keurig on Shabbos, because if you turn it on a coffee machine, you're dealing with electricity, you're dealing with Bishul, you're dealing with all sorts of things. But what you can do is like what people do when they go camping and they're big coffee lovers and they don't have access to electricity, is they bring this little funnel and coffee filters and coffee grinds, and they put the filter in the funnel and they fill it with coffee beans and they pour boiling water over it, and the water sits in the it passes through these ground coffee beans, and then it comes out at the bottom of the filter. It comes out as fresh coffee. Is there anything wrong with doing that on Shabbos? So first, as far as from a Bishul perspective, is there anything wrong with doing that on Shabbos? No, we already know Bishul. So it depends on Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni. Right. So how would you do it on Shabbos in your kitchen practically? How would you do it on Shabbos? What? So if you pour it directly from the air and then you're doing Iri Kli Rishon, that's a real problem. Right, so what would you do? You pour it into another cup and pour from that, which is now a klisheni, pour from that cup over the coffee beans. That would be irik klisheni. Probably it's not kalei abishal anyway. It's probably a tavlin, but even if it's not a tavlin, by irik klisheni, you're probably going to be okay. You want to be extra machmir, do irik klishlishi. Be machmir for, like Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky is everywhere, but in the Waterbury Yeshiva. I remember that, Maisa? Yeah, so you want to be so good, so you can do Irikli Shlishi, fine, that's great, no problem in terms of Bishul. But we have a big Borer issue. Why is it a Borer issue? Because the heterim of how to do Borer is it needs to be Biyad, Miyad, and Ochel Mitoch Pseldes. So do you have Ochel Mitoch Pseldes over here? Probably, right, because the coffee is coming through and the coffee grinds are staying behind. Do you have miyad? Yeah, you'll drink the coffee right away, because if you don't drink it right away, it's not going to taste good. Do you have biyad? That's where you run into trouble. So pashut pshat, one would have imagined, based on the normal klalim of borer, that this would be a problem, right? That this type of pour-over coffee would be a problem. Thing is, there's a Mishnah that says otherwise. So we have to appreciate, in order to appreciate these Mishnayos on Kuf Lamed Zayin and Kuf Lamed Tes, we have to appreciate that they didn't, the beverage industry was not nearly as developed in the times of Chazal as it is today, right? They didn't have 28 flavors of Snapple. That's probably low, but they probably have more than that. But they didn't accidentally bought mango Snapple. I thought it was peach Snapple, and Mango sample is not good, but they didn't have you disagree?
Yeah.
Yeah, you think mango sample is good?
Yeah.
Really, better than peach?
Yeah, 100%.
Wow. Okay, I have one left. I'll trade. So I'm looking forward to the big speech on Wednesday. Okay. Pashtus is it should be rum, but in the times of the Gemara they didn't have very many beverages, and they had, what did they have? They had water, wine, beer, right? Maybe some tea if you're really rich or something. So in order to utilize every last drop of wine, what they would do is they would make wine, and then they would have like these grape dregs that were left over from the wine, this gross, wet, peels and skins and whatever is left from the grapes. And they're still wet, there's still liquid in there. So to just throw it out would be chaval, would be such a waste to just throw it out. So they decided what they would typically do is they would just dump all that stuff into a filter. And when you dump it into a filter, what will come through? The liquid will come through. You let it sit in the filter for long enough, and the liquid will come through until you have nothing left but dry grape peels and flesh and whatever is left behind. So that's what they would do in the times of Chazal Stam when they wanted to maximize the output of the grapes. So there is a Mishnah on Kuflam and Zayin and Beis where the Mishnah says that according to the Chacham, who we paskin like, when we leave out the sheet of Reb Lezer, we don't paskin like, according to the Chachamim, putting that sediment, wine mixture, on the mishmeres, on the filter, on Shabbos is aser. You're not allowed to put it on the filter on Shabbos. And Rashi explains, the filter is a cloth that's stretched over the opening of a cup, meaning essentially it is it's like a filter that we have now for coffee, and the sediment and wine mixture was placed on top of it, and then it would just slowly drip through. The Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos explains that a mishmeres was a filtering sack that would be filled with wine and sediment, and it would allow only the wine to drip out over time, slowly, slowly over time. And the Rambam, quoting from the Gemara, explains that putting the sediment wine mixture on top of the filter is also because it is borer, or because merakid, one or the other, but it is one of those malachos of sifting. It is one of those malachos of filtering, of separating out the good from the bad. And it makes sense that that would be a malacha. You're taking this mixture, it's definitely a mixture, because it's grape dregs and liquid, so it's definitely all mixed together. You're dumping it on a cloth that will now allow only the wine to drip through and will leave behind all the stuff you don't want. Then there is another Mishnah. Two dapim later, Shabbos Taf Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. And the Mishnah tells us that if the sediment was already placed on the filter before Shabbos, then you could pour water over it and allow that water to absorb some of the flavor of the grape sediment and come through the bottom of the filter, and now it's going to come through as flavored water, and that is going to be mutter. Now they would do that also to maximize every last bit of flavor that they can get out of the grapes. So the good wine, that's already been produced. They already have the wine from those grapes. But there's still something that could be absorbed from these grapes, so they would pour water and they would make like a water drink, like one of those grape flavored drinks, like a petel type of, something that's a low class drink, but it's not wine, but it's something, it's better than water. So they would pour it through and it would absorb the grape flavor. So the obvious kasha is, how can the Mishnah allow this? That is borer. That would seem to be borer, right? It's exactly what we said, that you're taking water and you're running it through a filter, and it's filtering out the sediment that you don't want. So the Piskei Harid explains that there's no issue of borer. There's no issue of borer when adding water to the filter filled with sediment, because nothing is being sorted out of the water. Meaning the water that came in is the water that came out. Now it's just colored a little bit. But since you started with a clear liquid and you ended with a clear liquid, even though it passed through something else in between, we don't view that as an act of borer. An act of borer is where you start with a taroves and then you try to filter out and separate out the taroves. Over here, you're not starting with taroves, you're starting with water, and you're ending with a clear liquid also. So even though along the way it passes through and it absorbs and it picks up some flavor along the way, that is not borer. That's how the Piskei Harid suggests, and it's a Mishnah. Now, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Shin Yotes, in Si'if Tes, Shulchan Aruch quotes this Lahalacha. Right? Shulchan Aruch says, Shin Yud Tes Si'if Tes. Yeah. Mishmeres, afilu tluya me erev Shabbos, even if it was set up from before Shabbos, also litein bashamarim. You're not allowed to put in the sediment, wet sediment mixture into the mishmeres. Aval, im nasim bashamarim me erev Shabbos, but if you put it in there from before Shabbos, mutu litein alei mayim kidei sheyachsu tzul mazal. Then you're allowed to pour water over it in order that it should run through. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens. Now, based on this, what would you taina about pour over coffee? What did the Shulchan Aruch say? As long as you set it up before Shabbos and you have the stuff in there, the stuff that you want to provide the flavor in there from before Shabbos, you're allowed to pour the water over it on Shabbos. So pour over coffee, what would you say? What? Pour over coffee is dry. Well, so let's start. What's the Havamina? What would be the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch? What would you need to do? Set it up before Shabbos, right? That's what it sounds like in the Shulchan Aruch. You got to set it up before Shabbos, you can't set it up on Shabbos. So the Achronim explain, no. The reason you need to set it up before Shabbos in the case of the sediment is that the sediment was gross and wet and you're trying to get the wine that's still in there, that's mixed in there, to come through the filter. So that you got to do on Erev Shabbos. Meaning if you're going to take this mud-like substance of the flesh and the peels and the wine and dump it into the filter, you got to do that on Erev Shabbos. You can't do that on Shabbos. Now, once you did that on Erev Shabbos and all the wine that was in there has already filtered through, and now you want to take the next step and you want to pour water, you want to pour water through there in order to pick up some of the flavor, so that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. When it comes to coffee, what are you putting in the filter? What are you putting in the filter? Something that's totally dry. So there's no boda that's happening when you put it in the filter on Shabbos. You wouldn't need to set that up before Shabbos. You're putting in dry coffee grounds on Shabbos. Nothing's happening. There's no boda there. The first time you're doing anything is when you pour water over it. When you pour water over it, you're taking clear water, pouring it over it, and clear coffee is coming out. That's mutter. That's a beferish mishnah that it's mutter.
Would we be able to say the same thing when it comes to the fly in the first gush of water? Each first gush is only, meaning if the fly's already there in the filter for the first gush, so the next gush that's coming is water.
Oh, very good. So this is why I did not understand Rabbi Bleich's Taina on this, what was it, Rabbi Oberlander, right? When it came to the filtering out the New York City bugs. So remember we learned on, I guess, Thursday that this Rabbi Oberlander had suggested that since the first gush of water doesn't have any bugs in it, so any bugs that are going to come are only going to be later on. So it's a graman, a drabanan, whatever. He had a whole svara to be making. So Bleich said, I don't like that svara, because as soon as there's a bug caught in the filter, anytime you pour any water through that filter, even the first gush, you're doing bara again, because there's a bug stuck in that filter. L'chora, that's exactly this mishnah. That's mutter. If you have something stuck in the filter already, and you're taking clear water and you're pouring it over the filter where there's something gross in there and it comes through at the bottom, that's mutter. Meaning, what would be the halacha if you have pebbles? You have a bunch of, you know, you ever see like a stream where the water runs through the pebbles and the rocks? So can you pour water through the pebbles and it'll come out on the other side? Of course you could do that. That's not borer. You're allowed to do that. Why is that any different? Right, that should be no different than the case of the bug in the faucets. I'm not sure I understand Rabbi Bleich's Taina. It seems to be against this mishnah.
Maybe it's a little bit different because the water is first being collected in the pipe and it becomes like a tarobis, and then it goes to the filter.
How does it become tarobis? Meaning, Rabbi Bleich's Taina is that it becomes tarobis at the point where it's coming through because there's a bug already in the filter. That's what his Taina was. That it's
then it comes back afterwards. I mean, it gets caught in the filter, but then it goes back into the water because it's
tiny. I don't think so. I don't think that was his Taina. I don't think that was his Taina. Somehow on the first gush, he always assumes there's no bugs. I don't know why that's a Messias, but that's apparently the Messias that he assumes. But what he was worried about is the bugs that are already caught in the filter. So if that's the case, we have to ask him. He still comes to Yeshiva once in a while, I think. We have to ask him. So L'chora, it's not a violation of straining that which comes out. And... So l'chora, one should be allowed to use pour over coffee on Shabbos, but you just have to be very clear about it. If you tell it to anybody, that they have to be careful not to do kli rishon or iri kli rishon, that they have to make sure that they're not violating bishul. But l'chora, it should be totally mutter. And if those going into rabbanus, that will help with your popularity. People are very attached to their coffee. It works. I was in Houston a few weeks ago. The guy that I was staying was like, "You are my mom's favorite rabbi because you allow pour over coffee. Her rabbi doesn't." So I don't know why your rabbi doesn't.
The reason why it's allowed in the first place is that it starts off clear and then you pour and then it comes clear. When it comes to coffee, aren't you pouring in clear water and then it comes out?
The case in the Mishnah is you're pouring clear water and it's coming out as wine. Flavored, yeah. Meaning it's going, why are you pouring it through the filter? Because you want it to pick up some of the flavor of the, it's mamish exactly the same. It's unbelievable that the Mishnah has exactly the same case, but it is mamish the same case, right? It's in order to give some flavor to the water. But clear, I mean there's no particles in it. That's really clear.
It might not be like a thing in like how coffees actually work, but in theory, if it would like sit in like a container before going down into your cup,
oh, so we can get to French press in a second. Now, yeah. Right. So what we're saying is apparently it's not a borer situation bechlal, meaning it is bekli, but it's just not borer because when something starts off clear and ends up clear of any dirt, so then that's not borer. It's only borer when you start with the mixture to begin with. And this is what Mishavura quotes in Sivkat and Lamed Gimel. Mishavura writes Tzlulim. Ratzulomer shiur hashmarim tzlulim va'mayim yozuvu mehem im miktsas min hayayin shenishar balua bo va'tam she'ein b'nesiyas mayim mishum borer. The reason it's not borer is sha'mayim she'u nosin tzlulim heim. The water you're putting in is clear water. Ve'ein b'em dover she'tzorek levarim mehem. There's nothing you're trying to filter out of the water. So motzalitin b'shabes mayim al gabi shmarim shenishu b'chabes v'kolten amayim tamayayin. You're allowed to pour water over the shmarim and over the sediment of the grapes that are left in the barrel and will absorb the tamayayin. Motzino some b'shabes shosno son and it will come out on Shabbos. You're allowed to drink it and that's motzir.
Isn't, I don't know, this is a mischievous question, but doesn't it usually get collected in it usually becomes muddy first because it's so thick?
Exactly what happens with the wine sediment. Yeah, meaning it doesn't just pour right through in a second. But
the rocks, it's going straight through.
Yeah, but exactly whatever would happen with the wine sediment would happen with the coffee. One would imagine, right? It doesn't. There's something blocking. So obviously, it's not going to pour right through like a faucet. It's going to slowly drip down.
Right, but if it's meaning the coffee powder is meant to be absorbed by water to some extent. No.
No, instant coffee is meant to get absorbed in the water. No, this doesn't get absorbed. What you're left with is this muddy, gross, in the filter is like this muddy, gross, wet coffee beans, but nothing happens to them. I mean, they don't disappear.
What's even the Svarana?
If it's a Mishnah?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if you're concerned that people are going to do Iri Kli Rishon or something, I don't know. But L'chora, it should be Motir. Now, where it gets tricky and it's much harder to come up with a mutter way to do it, is French press. I wish I would have sent out a video in advance about how French press works. You can get on that. A French press is, I don't know how do I describe this? You're the best.
Were you like that guy in high school also?
A French press is you have this cup. It has a little spout at the top, right? You fill it up with water. You stick in a bunch of coffee, a bunch of coffee beans, so it's dotted with the coffee beans, and you fill it up with water. And now the coffee is just sitting in the water, so it's slowly turning the water into coffee. Then there's what they call the plunger. It's this kli that presses, that's the same size of the pitcher that, I don't know what it looks like exactly, but that's a handle. You push it down and it plunges. It has like little holes in it so water could escape. So as you push it down, all of these little dots, all of these little coffee pieces are pushed to the bottom and they're all once you plunge all the way down, all of them are at the bottom, and what you're left with at the top is clear coffee. Right? Follow that?
Yeah?
Okay. So that's how it works. That's our French press. So when you push this down, it pushes all the beans to the bottom. Once it's sat in the thing for long enough, once it's sat in the clip for long enough to absorb all the flavor, you push it down, it pushes all the grinds to the bottom, and now you're left with just clear coffee. And then you pour it out of the spout, and you have your coffee. So is this a Borer problem?
Yeah.
Why, yeah? You're literally doing Borer, right? I mean, yeah?
It's the same thing as before. If the coffee beans aren't getting mixed into the water.
They are.
When you start off, they're all mixed in the water. Before you do your Maisa, which is the plunging, it's one big Tarovas. Yes, absolutely.
Why is this more like Tarovas than the coffee?
No, it's not.
Because the earlier before was like coffee, and then you poured water
totally
over
separated.
Like separate water from the coffee over the coffee.
It's much more of a tarovus. Before you do your maisa by the pour over, you have clear water, right? So you don't have anything that you needs filtering out. Before you do your maisa of plunging, you have coffee that has actual gross beans that you don't want to eat and you don't want to swallow all over, you know, all in every. All over the place. And you're trying to get rid of those so that you can have clear coffee. So you plunge it down to push all of the grinds to the bottom so that then you'll be left with clear coffee.
When you drink Turkish coffee, you leave the grounds in there. I would drink a cup of coffee with grounds in it, which means it could be the same thing as a Brit. If you were to drink the water, kosher goes, and then filtering it would be a problem.
Maybe if you're right, if you're the kind of person that likes your coffee crunchy, right? so then maybe this is what's hard. Yeah.
I don't understand why it's different than like when you have the pour over coffee while it's in the filter before it drips down, isn't it still their coffee
drink? You're not doing any mice at that point. The Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that that's not borer. That when your maisa starts with no taroves,
right.
and then it comes out with no taroves, then even though in the middle there was a taroves, that's not borer. Over here, your maisa starts with a taroves, and you're pushing down. Well, it is not the case of the Mishnah. So ein l'chabal chidusho. You know, like over here, your maisa is actually to be borer out. To, you know, so it is psolas mitoch ochel. You're pushing down all the psolas, right? But it's bikli, and you can't do this. You can't do it biyad, right? You can only do it bikli. It's a specialized instrument that's made to make this happen.
In theory, if the plunger, if you would put the plunger, I don't know if I count it out, but in theory, if you pull up the plunger to the top and you would pour it, so then the ochel would leave the cup and you'd leave the psolas behind. Would that be okay? Because you need the bar open the psolas.
Meaning if you just plunge it down a little bit, not all the way.
No, like if you keep the plunger above where right under where the spout is.
Right.
And then you just pour
so
it.
So it will filter it over there.
Yeah.
Not sure if that works, but some have suggested something very similar. Some have suggested all you got to do is plunge it to here. Don't plunge it all the way to the bottom. And that way, what have you accomplished? You separated ochel from ochel upsoles. You've taken the fly out of your soup together with some soup. And we have the taz. And that's mutter to do. Right? Meaning as long as you don't plunge it all the way where you're only left with the coffee grounds, you're left with some very strong coffee in there also on the bottom. So then you've separated them out. Oh, but as soon as you hear the taz, what has to go through your head? Mishabrura chazanish. No? What's the, right, what are the two svaras as to why that taz is correct? That you're allowed to take out some soup together with the fly. When you take the fly out of your soup, when you take the you know, bugs out of the bug juice. So as long as you take some of the bug juice along with the bugs. Why is that mutter? So according to Mishabrua, it's mutter because we say Mishabrua said that any time you're taking some ochel with it, that's not borer. Right? Borer is when you actually sorted when you have it. At the end of the day, you have your psalas, you have your ochel. Over here, you haven't really sorted out your ochel and psalas. Okay, good. That would work over here also. But according to the Chazon Ish, what does the Chazon Ish say? Chazanish says that the reason you're allowed to take the fly together with some of the soup is because you're removing the entire taroves. It was never mixed with the rest of the soup. The fly was only mixed with the soup in the immediate vicinity of where the fly is. So you're not actually doing an act of borer. Over here, was it ever mixed with all this water? Absolutely, it was all over the place. The coffee grounds were everywhere. And now you're separating out, and you're separating out enough clear coffee that you'll be able to drink. According to Chazon Ish, you have a borer problem. So Enoch Inami, there is an Eitzah according to the Mishnah Berurah, L'chora. There might be an Eitzah, we'll discuss in a moment. But according to the Chazon Ish, there's no Eitzah. Because according to Chazon Ish, leaving some liquid together with the grounds is not going to help. So that's right. So that's my problem. That even if you say like the Chazon Ish, like the Mishnah Berurah, what are you going to do? You're then going to pour out the coffee. And what's going to happen when you pour it out? Remember, the plunger has holes in it to allow liquid to come through. So when you pour it out, what's going to come out? Only the liquid's going to come out. And the coffee grounds are going to stay under the plunger. So even if you don't push it down all the way, ultimately, when you pour it out, if you pour out all of it, you're going to be separating out the ochel from the psolas with a kli. So that's going to be a problem.
On this French press website, it says the best play is to not pour out the entire cup anyway. You only pour out half of the cup, and none of the stuff in the bottom of the cup. Like, it says that if you pour it to the bottom of the cup, you're going to get like the super concentrated coffee from the bottom. So they say only pour out like just the top.
Really? That's what they say? Totally pour out half of the... So if you didn't plunge all the way, right? You have to start with that as a basis. But that it doesn't say to do, right? It doesn't say not to plunge all the way. Right? But if you didn't plunge all the way and then you only pour out some of the coffee, that might be mutter. That l'chora would be mutter. No, it's the mice is only a mice if you plunged it all the way.
Yeah, in his case, you still plunge it all the way, and then you just pick it up.
Yeah, in his case, but I'm saying, let's say you do it, you don't plunge it all the way. So first of all, according to the Chazon Ish, you're in trouble anyway, even if you don't plunge it all the way. The second you move that plunger an inch, it's you've done an act of borrow, according to the Chazon Ish. According to the Mishnah Berurah, there may be an Eitzah. Right, according to the Mishnah, again, leaving out the Turkish coffee and the crunchy stuff. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, there may be an Eitzah. But don't plunge it all the way, and then when you pour it out, don't pour all of it out. So I asked Rav Asher Weiss what he thought, La Halacha, and he said, it's Pasha, we pass like the Chazon Ish. He said, definitely you're not allowed to do it. There's also another issue over here that you got to think about, and that is that if you push it down all the way to the point that the liquid is squeezed out of the coffee grounds, that might be a violation of schita, which is told of dash. So that could be a problem on that level. But Rav Asher Weiss pointed out that schita is only relevant when the liquid is absorbed or contained in a solid. The liquid coffee isn't really absorbed in the grounds. The grounds don't really absorb anything. One could argue that nothing is ever really absorbed in anything, meaning there's got to be a space for the liquids to go. So if it looks like it's absorbed in something, even though it's not actually, right? That's what the Gemara talks about, ain't schita b'seyar, but we pass in midrabanan, there is schita b'seyar. We'll talk about schita at some point, hopefully this year, but the schita of hair, right? So why is there no schita in hair? Because hair doesn't really absorb anything. The water just gets caught between the particles of hair. But midrabanan, there's yesh schita b'seyar. Why? Because it looks like schita. It looks like the hair absorbs something. If a person with long hair comes out of a swimming pool or something, or a shower, and then they squeeze out their hair, water, you squeeze out the payas after coming out of the mikvah. Let's make it real, right? So you squeeze out the payas after coming out of the mikvah. So you see liquid coming out of the payas because it looks like schita b'seir. So that would be a potential schita violation. I'm not sure why Rav Asher Weiss wasn't concerned about this. He had the same issue with the toothbrush and schita. Okay, maybe we'll save that to when we get to dash. Yeah. Yes.
I have it.
I've heard that there's I don't know how this would be any different than a French press. It seems to be similar in it, but I've heard that there are permitted ways to use it.
It is different than a French press. Have any of you seen this? It's a Keurig and it takes actual pods, but there's no electricity. You just push the water through. So, and depending how slowly or quickly you push the water through, that will change the strength of your coffee. So someone in my shul asked me about it, and then they bought me one. So I brought it in to Rav Schechter to show it to him, to ask him
maybe
this.
Buy one, maybe
No, I already said mutter, and then they bought me one because they figured out I would appreciate it. It must be I just drank in some coffee on Shabbos. Like to sit there, it's not even hot by the time you're done with all this stuff. Like I like hot coffee. So anyway, so what it is? It's essentially the pour over coffee, except with a pod instead of a filter and grounds in it, because the water is going through. You're pushing the water through. That's the only difference. That's what I was misupic about. You're not just pouring it over and letting it happen. You're pushing the water through the pot, but you're starting with water. You're ending with a clear liquid, and right. So in that sense, it's similar to the pour over. So Rav Shechter thought that would be mutter. He thought that was close enough to the pour over situation. I mean, is it good coffee? It's cold by the time you get to you. You're very cliche-y, and it's you're doing it slowly through a thing. You could argue it's not worth, it's not worth the effort. But if you enjoy it, it's a day. that's perfectly fine. Good. Okay, we're good with coffee now. So let's move on from coffee a little bit. So I wrote an article about coffee in the Torah publication of the Boca Raton Synagogue like 3 years ago. So the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society is always looking for articles, so they just pulled that article and used it in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society. So if you'll see that this article comes out soon in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, you'll see this whole discussion over there. Now, what about the following? Once we're talking about straining things and sifting things, and it's a borrowed issue, I don't want to read this anymore, and I do want you to have it next time. So what about you have a bowl of cereal, right? So and you didn't finish it on Shabbos morning after Hashkamim, okay? You didn't have breakfast before, unless you're Hasidish or whatever, right? So after Hashkamim, you came home, you made Kiddush, you had a little mezonos, and then you had a bowl of cereal, right? So you didn't finish the bowl of cereal, so you have this cocoa pebbles in this chocolate milk right now, because the cocoa pebbles always flavor the milk, and you want to throw it out. Now, it's not nice to throw out wet milk in the garbage can, right? So what do? You pour it in the sink. Now, the sink has this little built-in drain stopper, right, the filter thing, but you're nervous that the cocoa pebbles are going to, get through there also and may mess up your plumbing or whatever. So you take a spoon and you hold it right by the edge of the bowl. You ever try that, right? And you pour out the milk, holding back all of the cocoa pebbles. Or you're not so patient, so you just dump the whole thing and the drain stopper stops all the, all the cocoa pebbles from going through. I only say cocoa pebbles because it's the best cereal, but it could be any cereal, right? I mean, fruity pebbles are better, I guess. But I'm getting a lot of disagreement. Okay, what's your preference? What? Waffle crisp? Oh, come on. I'm obviously objectively right. So Tzitz Eliezer had never heard of waffle crisp, he never heard of cocoa pebbles, he never heard of fruity pebbles, but Tzitz Eliezer heard of chicken soup. So in Chelek Vav Simin Yud Beis Os Ches, he talks about pouring leftover chicken soup into the sink, even though the chicken soup is not a clear broth. So you have some vegetables and some other stuff floating around the chicken soup, so it's going to drain while the chicken soup, the stuff is going to pass through the drain, the chicken soup is going to go right through, and it's going to leave the chicken and the vegetables in the drain stopper. So he says, what's the heter? Any heter for that? It's all psalas, right? Meaning, since you're trying to throw it all out anyway, you just want to throw this part out this way and this part out a different way. But it's all just a way of discarding everything. You're not interested in anything, so therefore, it's all considered one min. Bora doesn't apply because it's simply not a tarovis. So if you have some cereal and milk in your bowl, you could put a spoon at the edge of the bowl and pour out the milk into the sink, and then empty the cereal in the garbage. That's mutter because cereal and milk are considered all one min, they're all considered psalas, they're all considered waste, where the Isser of Borer does not apply.
The Ram only said it was by two
Oakland? Yeah.
No,
okay. Right. But if it's two psalas, ain't nothing. Yeah. What? Yeah, but even here, meaning, because right now I want this to be able to throw it in the. It's not that I want this, it's that I want to get rid of it in a way that's not going to ruin my drain. I don't know. I hear the taina. Tzitz Eliezer doesn't think so. I would think that also. You're just trying to throw it all out. You're just trying to throw it all out in a way it's not going to ruin your house.
Can you still say it's one min if you wanted to drink a bit of the chocolate milk, but then you were done with it and then you pour it out, or it became 2 min and then
If what?
Let's say you drink some of the broth or the chocolate milk.
Meaning you're doing it in order to actually get the broth.
Like, I don't know, you also like drinking the chocolate milk, and then you're done with it. So then afterwards you're going to throw it out.
Well, once you're done with it and throwing it out, it's all psoas. But let's say you want a cup of chocolate milk. So you take your cocoa pebbles that are now sitting in chocolate milk. They flavored it. And you don't like your chocolate milk crunchy, right? So you pour it through and hold it back with a spoon. So would that be mutter? So if you drink it right away, it's miyad. Is it biyad? It's with the spoon. So we're going to get to the gather of biyad. That's probably, yes, that probably is considered biyad, because your hand would probably be even more effective at doing that. It's just gross. So that would probably be called biyad, and it's ochel mitoch psalas, right? So that, we'll get to that also. But that l'choru would be mutter. Now, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuflam Tesam Beis, tells us Rav Papa, when Rav Papa wanted to have beer without the sediment at the bottom of the glass, he would slowly pour the beer from the glass into another cup and make sure that the sediment stayed in the original glass. So he had beer full of sediment, and he would pour it slowly, 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 so that only, you ever like try to, you know, you have iced tea and there's actual ice cubes and you don't want any of the ice cubes, right? So you try to like play that game where you pour it slowly so that the ice cubes aren't gonna come out. So Rav Papa had a similar type of thing. The Gemara says it's bayrer because he's sorting the beer from the sediment. The sediment is garbage, and the beer that he's pulling out is ochel. So the Gemara says, the way Rashi understands it, is that since the top half of the beer is clear anyway, the sediment is all settled toward the bottom, and it's on the top, it's clear anyway, that's not considered a mixture, and you're allowed to pour it out. Meaning you're only pouring out that which is in the top half of the kli anyway. Only the sediment mixed with the remaining beer at the bottom is an actual taroves, and removing the beer from the sediment, that would violate borer. But since Rav Papa, what did Rav Papa do for a living? He was a beer merchant, so he didn't care about losing those drops of beer that were left at the bottom, even though we said before they were so careful about utilizing every last thing because they want. But if you were a beer merchant, you know, you could afford it. So he didn't mind throwing out the dregs of the beer with the had the liquid mixed in with it. So he didn't care about losing those small drops of beer mixed with the sediment. And when he reached the sediment, he would throw out the entire beer sediment mixture that was left. So he'd only pour out the clear liquid, and whatever was left afterwards, okay, that he would throw out. Essentially what we suggested with the French press, right? Meaning that just make a concentrated mixture of coffee and coffee grinds, and only pour out, and then only pour out what's on the top, and don't pour out what's on the bottom. That's what Rav Papa did. Shulchan Aruch and Sifya Dalid, Paskins, based on the Gemara, Mutar Larus Benachas Mikli L'Chavero, you can pour from one kli to another. You're allowed to slowly pour wine with psolus from one glass to another, as long as the psolus is at the bottom of the glass, and you stop pouring when you get to that point of psolus, and you allow it to remain mixed with the psolus. So Mishabur and Sifkat Nadalid explains that the wine on top of the sediment is not considered to be mixed with the psolus, and removing it is mutter. This is fascinating, no? Because, why is this fascinating? It's all one kli full of liquid. The bottom half has a bunch of psalas in it. Top half does not have psalas in it, but it's all in one kli. It sounds very similar. It sounds very similar to a bowl of chicken soup with a fly in it. No, that you have that the fly is on one side, and then there's clear broth on the other side. And the Mishmura sounds chazanishi a little bit over here. No, that the part that's clear, that's not mixed with anything. Only the part that's actually mixed with something is mixed with anything. The part that's clear is not mixed with anything. But the Mishabura says that the wine on the top of the sediment is not considered mixed with the psalas. Maybe it's because top-bottom, I don't know. Mishabura and Sifkat Nun Hei Paskins, based on the Magen Avraham, that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, they have to stop pouring the wine when you reach the psalas, only if you don't plan to drink the wine right away. But if you want to drink the wine right away, then it's mutter, because you're separating the ochel, the wine from the psalas, miyad and biyad. Right, meaning if you could do it that way, if you could fulfill all of the criteria, meaning there are two ways, as we know at this point, hopefully, there are two ways to get around borer. One is to make sure that it's not a borer situation in the first place, that you're not actually doing borer. And the other is, if you're going to have to do borer, then do it in a way that fits all three criteria of how you're allowed to do borer. So So those are the two suggestions, Sivkat Nadal and Sivkat Nene. Sivkat Nadal is just don't do Borin, only take the clear part, and that's not mixed with anything, so it's not a Tarot, so it's not Borin. Sivkat Nene says, and if you're going to do Borer, then do it Miyad Biyad, you know, Chumitav Pselas, you know, and then you'll be okay. Right? That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Questions? Hands up before? Okay, Magen Avraham also tells us that if you have a case where the Pselas is on top of the mixture, like you have unwanted oil sitting on top of a salad dressing, so you're not allowed to pour out the excess oil from the dressing because that's considered that you're removing the psolus. The oil is the psolus, you're removing it from the ochel. So according to Magen Avraham, this is critical. I have a cup in my hand, right, of salad dressing, let's say. There's oil floating on top. I want to get rid of the oil. Or let's say chicken soup or something that, you know, there's whatever that is that floats on top. There's oil on top. I'm trying to get rid of that oil. So I pour out just the oil. Is that ochel mitoch psolus or psolus mitoch ochel? So Magen Avraham says psolus mitoch ochel because that's I'm taking out the psolus. But normally when I'm taking out psolus, I have a bowl of jelly beans. I'm taking out all of the black ones. So what I take out is what's in my hand at the end of the day, right? Psolus mitoch ochel is what I'm left with in my hand. Magen Avraham is saying I'm holding this cup of chicken soup. I'm pouring out the oil. What's in my hand? The rest of the chicken soup. So didn't I just pull the ochel? Because that's what I'm left with holding in my hand. So is that called psolus mitoch ochel? Is that called ochel mitoch psolus? You see from the Magen Avraham that whatever leaves your hand is the item that is being sorted. Meaning if it leaves your hand, that's if what leaves your hand is edible and you want to eat it right away, then that's considered that you've taken ochel, as is the case with the wine and the psolus. But if you don't want to eat the item that was sorted out, then it's considered as if you sorted out the psolus. You removed the psolus from the ochel, like the case of the salad dressing. Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in Hilchos Rabbis L'Shabbos, in the Siddur, argues on the Magen Avraham. He says, no, whatever is left in your hand is what you sorted out. So says the Alter Rebbe, no, it's not what was removed from the kli. It's what's in your hand. That's the item that was sorted out. So if you spill out the part that you don't want to drink, and the item that you don't want to drink that you do want to drink remains in your hand, the salad dressing remains in your hand. That's as if you've taken ochel mitoch psaldas. And as long as it's miyad and biyad, mut, because it's ochel mitoch psaldas. If you pour out the food and are left with psaldas, then you've taken psaldas from ochel. So, if you want to satisfy Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch HaRav, you're stuck. You can't. Meaning, what's an Isra D'Oraisa for one of them, what is a Malacha D'Oraisa Chiv Skila for one of them, is Heter Gamur for the other. And each one is going to, you know, one is going to say that the case of the salad dressing with the oil is perfectly mutter, and that's fine because you've taken Ochel Mitoch Psolas. And the other is going to say that the case of, what was the other case? The opposite case? Where you poured out. I don't remember the opposite case. Whatever, where you pour out that which you do want.
The beer.
What? The beer, right. The beer, right. That's the case. So when there's a little bit of wine mixed with some psolus at the bottom of the wine glass, Shulchan Aruch HaRav asers pouring out the wine, even if you plan on drinking it right away, because you're left with the psolus in your hand. And the item that's left in your hand is that which was sorted. In the reverse case, Shulchan Aruch HaRav would allow pouring the excess oil from a salad dressing because the item that was sorted out is the item that's left in your hand, so you're left with the dressing. So according to Magen Avraham, slowly pouring out wine from a mixture of wine and psolus for immediate consumption is mutter because the item that's being poured out, that's what's being sorted. Shulchan Aruch HaRav, asr. Pouring out excess oil from salad dressing, asr according to the Magen Avraham, mutter according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Lemaisa, I think most posts can follow the Magen Avraham over here. I think my first year teaching here, there we had a Lubavitcher Chassid in the Shir, so I always had to be careful. He always told me like what the Alter Rebbe held about everything. So the Alter Rebbe was, you know, would say otherwise. But Lemaisa, it seems that most posts hold like Magen Avraham because it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. The item leaving your hand is the sorted item. In addition to that, there are Chabad poskim who understand the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is not even arguing on the Magen Avraham, but just being extra machmir, so that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is not going to be matir that which the Magen Avraham asered. He's going to aser that which the Magen Avraham asered and aser everything else also. That he's just being machmir in both directions out of his suffix.
So. Why isn't this
Because I don't know that it's blocking access. You can pour the whole thing out, and you'll get, or you can stick a ladle in and take out. I mean, you'll get some mixed in, right? But that's not true, meaning you just won't be able to sort it out. But you will have access to to everything that's in there. You just won't be able to do borer. You can't go through a stack of masses, right? Yeah, it's a solid. Right. Appeal. You can't. Right, but that's such an abnormal way of doing things. But to scoop soup out of that's an easy normal thing to do. So where does this come up a lot? Why are we going through all these crazy details? Chobani. Anyone here eat chobanis? I decided 1 week before the wedding I'm going to start eating healthy, so you never know. It could work. It might help. I'm not eating any of those. Why'd you have to do that? If you open up a chobani, so now I have a trick. Before I open up the chobani, I just shake it vigorously. Right? Why? Because one day it's going to explode in my face. It's not going to be good. But if you open up a chobani, or any yogurt for that matter, it's just chobani's better, but if you open up any yogurt, so what do you have? You have like liquid again. Okay. So you have liquid sitting on the top, or a can of tuna fish. So you have liquid sitting on the top. So what do you want to do? You want to drain out the liquid that's on the top. So you want to pour off the liquid from the top. So is that mutar or asu? No, what are you tying now? I'm neat the chobani right now. It's miyad. It's biyad. Is it ochel mitoch psalas? Or is it psalas mitoch ochel? So what's left in my hand is going to be the ochel. I'm pouring out the psalas. So if y'all, that what's left in your hand, like the Shulchan Aruch says, that what's left in your hand is what you're being borer, so then that's mutter. But if you hold like the Magen Avraham, which we paskin like, l'chor it should be asir. So the excess juice that's above the tuna or above the yogurt is not really mixed with the food. The liquid that's right above the tuna yogurt, you know, maybe that's absorbed in is mixed with the food, but that which is above, that's the heter. That which is above the food maybe is not considered mixed in. So according to Mishavur Magen Avraham, if you pour out the excess juice from the food, that would be usur, because that's taking out the psalas. But if you just pour out like a very little bit of the liquid from the top, it could be that that's not even considered part of the mixture. Maybe there's a heter on that level. If you pour out a little bit of yogurt or tuna with the juice, Jitaina, then you have the Tazis fly, right? So according to Mishnah Brura, perfectly good. According to the Chazanish, you have to take all the yogurt that's around the liquid, right? Anything that would be considered part of the tarovas, but you'd have to do that. That would probably be a lot of yogurt. Shmir Shabbos paskins like the Magen Avraham. The same halach applies to liquid, excess liquid on top of canned beans or corn or olives or something like that that's mixed with water, which is mutter. But removing the water lower down that's mixed with the, you know, corn, olives, or whatever, is asr, because you're removing the psolas from the ochel. Shmir Shabbos said that pickles are not considered to be mixed, right? Like we said before, because that's not a tarovas to begin with. But that's a very, very nogeya, example of where this comes up, where this machlok is Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch Rav is relevant. Okay. Yeah, so how would you do it? So if you hold like the Magen Avraham, you're in trouble when you pour out the psolas, unless you say that, no, you're not going to really drain it out. You're just going to pour out the excess liquid from the top. But if you push down if you squeeze it down like we typically do, you squeeze down the metal piece so that it can really drain out all the liquid, that l'chora should be a problem, right? Is there any way to take care of that? You have to scoop out, you're never going to get it out that way. It's all absorbed in the thing. Right? That l'chora would be wrong. You'd have like wet tuna. L'chora. Right? You could just pour out a little bit from the top, yeah?
This might be crazy. Maybe you can give it to like a dog or something. You can feed your own. If you have an animal on Shabbos to feed. I don't know the lach is there, but maybe like, it's like ochel. That's like, it's like feeding an animal. Just feeding something.
So what are you going to do?
They take a liquid oil on top and you give it.
And that way it's ochel because it's not psalas? Because you're using it for something?
Yeah, I don't know if that's the thing.
Would a dog eat that?
I don't know.
We have a dog.
Seven, yeah. Maybe.
The cats might eat. No, don't cats
yeah,
eat too much fish?
Whatever the animal is.
Would that make it ochel? So you're taking ochel from psalas. Miyad biyad. Maybe? Oh, we have our first reason to yes have a pet. I have a lot of reasons not to have a pet. That's the first reason to yes. What?
If you drink a tiny bit of tuna juice.
That's gross. Who would want to do that? If you're a crazy person. I don't think like you know, forcing yourself to have something that is like objectively disgusting is you know, is going to turn it into right. If you're a kelev hashavel kiyom, you know, it doesn't mean that it's yeah.
Maybe a small example, like I've been in Bnei Brak, and the juice of the tilapia fish is like the delicacy. So, like, if you want to separate it, someone else is harmed to delicacy.
Yeah. Again, you find your meshugana. So, find someone who. Okay, I guess you could do that. And let them do it. Right, but that's not always practicable. You know, like in North Woodmere, I'm not going to find my Bnei Brak yid who's going to want to drain my gefilte fish from me. It's not going to be so easy.
In that case, the guys that take it out for you, right? You can't take it out and give it to him, can you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he wants it, so it's no worse than your dog.
Yeah.
Maybe. No, I don't think that's so practical. Again, I don't think these are. We have a problem, right? Making tuna fish and Shabbos. I mean, we're going to have lush and other problems also with making tuna fish and Shabbos if you mix mayonnaise and things like that. And tochin, if you like to cut tiny little vegetables into. There are a lot of issues. Maybe better to make your tuna fish before Shabbos. But this is one of the issues. Another common example, just to. You have a ladle filled with chicken and the soup, but you only want to add the chicken to your bowl. You don't want the soup. So can you pour out the soup back into the pot? So if the chicken pieces are big and very clearly identifiable, like a pickle in its juice, so you don't have the mixture, so it's perfectly fine, right? Then pouring the soup back into the pot is mutter. Or a large matzah ball, let's say, in the soup. So it's mutter to pour out the excess soup, right? That often happens. You want another matzah ball. So there's a matzah ball in the soup, but you can't get just the matzah ball unless you use a fork, right? So but there is no fork available. So you ladle it out with a little bit of soup, but then you just try to drain out the soup off of the ladle, holding the matzah ball back. So a matzah ball is very easily identifiable and it doesn't look like a mixture at all. So l'chor, it's not a mixture. But if the chicken pieces are small, or little pieces of vegetable, or the matzah ball is falling apart and it's becoming dissolved in the soup, so it's considered like a mixture, then pouring out the soup from the ladle, l'chor, is psolos mitoch ochel. And therefore, is going to be us according to the Magen Avraham. We paskin like that Magen Avraham. So you have two options. You could pour out the contents of the entire ladle and try again to get only the matzo ball this time. You know, to get only the chicken, only something else. Or if there's someone else who only wants soup, like the AC said before, if there's someone, you know, someone wants broth. A lot of times you have little kids, they don't want stuff. They don't want stuff in their soup. Sometimes those little kids get bigger and they still don't want stuff in their soup. But you know, a lot of times they don't want anything in their soup. They want everything filtered out. So good. So yeah, it's a perfect shidduch. I'll have the, it's like the black and white cookie. You know, someone prefers the chocolate, someone prefers the white, and shalom aleichem, everyone's happy. So you have the person who doesn't like the stuff. So if there's someone else who only wants soup, you pour the excess soup into his bowl, and you take the remaining piece of chicken and matzo ball and ladle for yourself. And that's mutter, because if he wants it, then it's ochel. So therefore, it's not psolos. It's ochel mitoch ochel.
Shouldn't it be ochel mitoch ochel as long as you're still serving soup? Because it's going to be ochel for the next person you serve.
No, but you're leaving it. You're leaving it there. You're going to get your seconds, and you want a matzo ball or whatever, I don't know. If you're leaving it behind, you have no immediate plans for it. I don't know. I don't know what the case would be exactly, that where we would draw that line. If there's someone behind you online, if you're putting it away, the last person. I don't know. I'm not sure where to draw that line. Yeah.
What if you want broth, but you want less broth?
If what?
If you want broth, but you just want less, you want to pour out a little bit because it's like a little broth.
So you're leaving a little bit of a tarot. So that. according to the. What do you mean? That's like the Taz. That's the fly. Yeah, so you're taking ochel together with. Oh, I mean you're only taking what you want. So you're taking ochel and apsalis. That's even better.
No, meaning I have like a ladle with.
Meaning you're leaving behind because you're pouring out the psalis, you say.
Right. I want broth also.
Ah, so is that called psalis? I hear. Is that called psalis? I don't think so, but I'm not sure.
Mixed with itself.
Yeah, something that's mixed with itself is min echad. Yeah, you can't say that. It's yeah, that's min echad. That can't be a problem. I don't think that's much.
So let's say you want just broth and you keep, you know, you're scooping and you keep getting the pieces in it. Can you just keep putting it back in until you get just broth?
Yeah. You can do that. The Aruch HaShabbos points out, just one more, the Aruch HaShabbos points out that, it's late already. The Aruch HaShabbos points out that the Isser Bor applies only if you remove the psalus from the mixture, but if you push the psalus to one side of the pot, that's mutter. It's still part of the mixture. So if your soup pot is filled with small pieces of chicken and vegetables and you only want the chicken, you're allowed to push the vegetables to one side of the pot. You're not removing them in any way in order to then access the chicken, because the psalus was never sorted from the mixture. It was just moved to a different part of the mixture. Meaning, let's say you have a pile of coats. You're allowed to flip over the whole pile of coats and move it around because it's still mixed. It's still all the big mixture. You're just moving around the contents of the mixture. That's very relevant when it comes to chalent. You only want to take meat or you have clothing in a dryer where you're looking for a sock, right? So you can't start pulling out all the psoles. What you can do is you keep flipping over the whole pile until you spot the sock, and then go in and get it. Because you're not undoing the mixture. If you're looking for a key in a keychain, you can push aside the keys you don't want in order to get the key you do want, because the other keys are still part of the mixture. French press would still be awesome, because the filter prevents the coffee grinds on the bottom of the glass from being remixed with the water on the top of the filter, so the coffee grind is considered sorted from the water. In contrast, in the challenge of the sock case, the other items that were moved to the side are still considered part of the mixture. Just one last thing, and I'll take a question. Shlomo Zalman goes one step further in Halicha Shlomo on Pesach, Perek Yud, footnote 36. And he says that if you're looking for a certain item in a mixture, you're allowed to pick up the items you do not want and temporarily remove them from the mixture in order to find the item that you do want to take. You're looking for a whole matzah to be used for lechem mishnah, a box of matzos, you could lift up the broken top ones in order to find the whole one underneath. That is a huge chiddush, as we've pointed out. Because even though you're removing the broken matzah from the mixture and not just pushing it to the side, it's not considered borer. You're not sorting the psalas from the mixture, because the pieces are still in your hand and you plan to immediately put them back in the box. So you've never really sorted them out. That's similar to like hachzara, odu biyado. So if it's odu biyado, quite a chiddush to have such a din of odu biyado when it comes to borer. But sorting out is that you're left with things that are sorted from each other. But if something's in your hand and you're stuck with it, and you're just going to put it right back in the box, maybe that's not called sorting. So that's a big chiddush Shlomo Zalman has in Halicha Shlomo. Maybe we should look it up, make sure he actually says what I wrote in my notes that he says, because as I'm saying it sounds ridiculous. I mean, it sounds hard to believe. Yes.
According to what I said, you could always basically pour out soup as long as there's a tiny amount left in the window.
Yeah.
Which is usually
this
soup anyways.
Right. Meaning, yeah, if you're keeping some soup for yourself. Yeah. Well, a bowl of salad, let's say, meaning where it's all still mixed. Meaning, if you're really sorting them out, then that's a problem, right? But if let's say you want to scoop out from the salad bowl, and you don't like tomatoes, I gather. so you see that there's a heavily concentrated tomato portion. So you shove that aside onto the side, and then you scoop out whatever is there. You may still end up with a tomato or two, but you'll survive. So Be'ez Hashem on Wednesday, we're going to elaborate a little bit more on Derech Achila, the difference between Ochel, now we're going to get into the three. You know, now it's time to actually learn Hilchos Bar, right? So now that we know what's a Tarovus, what's not a Tarovus, so now we have to figure out what's called Ochel Mitzvah Psalms versus Psalms Mitzvah Ochel, which we started a little bit today, based on what's left in your hand, what's not, but also why? Why would it matter what's Ochel Mitzvah Psalms? Why is that even a thing? And also to start discussing Miyad, Biyad, so Bez Hashem, Wednesday, Thursday, and maybe Sunday as well, we'll finish up those in Yanim. Okay, everyone have a great day.